as we come to the close of one year and the thought of a new year, it is well for us to think about that word consecration. The word consecration means to devote one or set one apart to the service of God. It means ultimately in relationship with God that the individual is holy, set apart for God, consecrated for God. That's a very important thought for us to have in our lives. In the Scriptures, we have a number of remarkable examples of this, and we're going to look at a number of them today. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 28, the writer of Hebrews refers to the consecration of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 28, he says, "For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore." Now, the Lord Jesus is one who is perfectly consecrated. He is given to the will of his Father totally. There's nothing held back, nothing escaping the control of his Father. For all of us, we have not arrived at that yet. For us, it is something that we are pressing onward. We are seeking to develop in a better way consecration to God. But for the Lord Jesus, we have a perfect example. As you think of his life and ministry, there's not a solitary occasion, not a single event in that whole life that manifested anything other than perfect consecration to his Father's will. He faced the bitterest enemies, the most terrible suffering, and always it was with supreme devotion. He was holy to his Father. He was consecrated as he should have been. That is a stirring image for us all to remember. In chapter 6 and verse 17, the writer of the Hebrews speaks about this, saying, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, at which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us." Now, that's interesting that God confirmed this promise with an oath. He swore by himself. He could not swear by anything greater. And the word of the oath consecrated that son forever. In verse 25 of chapter 7, speaks about the Lord Jesus, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." And so here he manifests still that life of consecration. He lives for the very purpose of interceding for you and for me. Now, that consecration of his to his Father is total. And now he always remembers us before his Father. He always prays on our behalf. Now, that is something that we must not forget. When the temptations come, we must remember he is praying for us. When the opportunities of service arise, we must remember he is praying for us. That consecration is supreme for us. And therefore, we should have consecration toward him, toward the purpose of his Father. And we should have faith, trusting in the ministry of our great mediator and intercessor on our behalf. Now, let us look at a few examples in Scripture of this consecration. If you will turn to Exodus chapter 28, dropping down to verse 41, it speaks about the consecration of Aaron and his sons to the priesthood. They were devoted to that priesthood for all their life. And it describes there part of the consecration. The command is given, Exodus 28:41, "And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons, and shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office." Now, this refers to the robes, the beautiful garments that the high priest and all the priests wore when they served the Lord in the tabernacle, later on in the temple. They were consecrated, given to that service, and these were garments that were worn only in conjunction with religious service. They weren't worn around the house elsewhere. They were worn when serving God. They were consecrated to the Lord. It speaks in verse 43 that these garments shall be upon Aaron and his sons when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. And so here is special garments consecrated to God, worn only in the service of God, that the high priest and the other priests who served God could wear in their worship and service of God. Now, it is an interesting thing also in chapter 29 and verse 35. It speaks there, "Thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and to his sons, according to all the things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar. When thou hast made an atonement for it, thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it." So here is 7 days of consecration to begin their ministry as priests. A very solemn thought. For a good many Christian workers, if they have a consecration service, it is a one-time affair. And in most cases, it is simply something done in private. But here, as part of their service, they were consecrated for 7 consecutive days. It was a very solemn time in the history of Israel. And we must remember the solemnity of that task of consecrating ourselves to God, because that makes the individual who is thus consecrated holy, set apart for God. Sometimes Christians forget that about themselves. They're saved, they're washed in the blood, they know they should serve the Lord, but the idea of a consecration, something which makes them holy to the Lord, set apart for the Lord, sometimes is lost upon them. And they find themselves in worldly circumstances sometimes and fit in all too easily. And don't remember the consecration that rests upon them. But that is something that should be a guard for our life and practice. We're consecrated to the Lord. We are devoted to his service. And so we belong to him. We are holy unto the Lord. The Old Testament priests had to live like that all their days. Friends, we are now the priests. There is no priesthood in the church. Every believer is a believer priest. Each one of us is consecrated to the Lord. Each one is holy to the Lord. Each one of us can enter the Lord's presence every day and commune with the Lord and pray to him and worship him as he deserves. That is something we must never forget. And it is a privilege that we must surely exercise. Now, if you'd turn to Exodus chapter 32, dropping down to verse 29. Moses commanded, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day." And so here is a renewed consecration on the part of the Israelites. This was something that they needed because of the sinfulness of the people. They had forgotten their consecration to God. And Moses here summons them back. In verse 30, he says, "Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin." He's referring to the golden calf. Now you say, wasn't that terrible? Yes, the people of God, newly consecrated to the service of God, weren't in it very long at all. Then they were persuaded to make an idol, an image, and forgot all about their consecration to Jehovah God, who cannot be worshipped with an image, who is the supreme Lord of all, invisible and not an image. And here they had forgotten their consecration so quickly. Now, friends, that's easy for all of us to do. We can walk out of a church building and forget completely what we've been singing about and what we've been listening to and the worship of God that's been going on. You can forget immediately about it. Now, that's a drastic thing, but it shouldn't be. When we leave the house of the Lord, it's not to go back into the world. It's to go forth with that consecration to serve God every day, in every place, at all opportunities. It is a consecration that should continue. So when the believer consecrates himself to the Lord, it is not just to be in church, to sing hymns and such here. This is just a single service. When you consecrate yourself to the Lord, you are setting yourself apart, holy, period, for the Lord. It is a consecration that doesn't leave when you leave the building. When you are devoted to the Lord, that is what you are, wherever you are, and whatever you are doing. You are holy unto the Lord. Now, friends, we can forget that all too easily. We become embroiled in the business of the day, the works that we have to be engaged in. It's easy to forget while we're doing all this that we belong to the Lord. It's easy to get irritable when things don't go well. It's easy to forget the consecration that we had. It's easy to encounter people who would drag us away from the consecration and tear us down from our devotion to God. And it's easy to go with the tide, to drift along with the surroundings. And we have to remember, when we are consecrated to the Lord, devoted to the Lord, that means we belong to Him. The holiness of God rests upon us. And it doesn't matter where we are, or who we are with, or what we are doing, we are still consecrated to God. We are His to serve Him and live for Him in the midst of this wicked world. And we are surrounded with golden calves. They stare at us from businesses, from the media. They stare at us from next door neighbors and friends we happen to meet. It's continual temptation to depart from that sacred consecration to God. Friends, we must remember that. And remember, in the midst of the competition, we belong to the Lord. We are His. And we should be serving Him, worshiping Him, talking to Him, all the while other things are going on. And they are all less important than our consecration. In Numbers, chapter 6 and verse 7, the text refers to the Nazirite who was consecrated to God. In verse 6, all the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or mother or brother or sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. Now, here was a special class of people in Israel who had devoted themselves to the Lord. They were Nazirites. And consequently, they had a special diet. They had special tasks that they had to perform. And they could not defile their separation. Now, all of that tells us that now we don't have an order like that. Every last believer is that. The Nazirites were very special people, set apart as an illustration of what separation really meant. But nowadays, there is no special order in the church. Every believer is a believer priest. every believer has access to God. Every believer can come before His presence and pray to Him at any time, any day, anywhere. And we must recognize that that consecration rests upon all of us. Every one of us is a modern-day Nazarite. We are devoted to the Lord. There are special privileges and special opportunities for us. And oftentimes, we forget who we are and what relationship we have with God constantly, at all times. In Ezekiel chapter 43, there's a prophecy that we need to note in this connection. Ezekiel chapter 43 deals with the restoration of the land in the great millennial reign that is going to come one day. The great millennial temple will be built. There will be sacrifices once again upon the earth. You say, why sacrifices? They will be memorial sacrifices, just as the Lord's Supper for us is a memorial of the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made. This we do until He comes. But when He comes, the Lord's Supper will not be celebrated any further. We will have Him face to face. There will be no such need of ceremony. But upon the earth, during the 1,000-year reign of peace that follows, there will be need of special consecration to God. And in chapter 43, dropping down to verse 46, 7 days shall they purge the altar and purify it, and they shall consecrate themselves. And when these days are expired, it shall be that upon the 8th day and so forward, the priest shall make your burnt offerings upon the altar and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord God. So here is 7 days of consecration, 7 days of setting everyone apart for God. And then the sacrifices will be made, memorial sacrifices, calling the attention of those converted Jews in the millennium to their past, the sacrifice that their Messiah has made for them. And now He is ruling, and they can worship in peace and properly according to His directions. Now that certainly will be a glorious time on the earth when the will of God is done here, when there will not be the concentration of evil on the face of the earth that we have today. We are now just a small remnant, a small number of people, but during the millennium, there will be a great majority of people that will worship the Lord and be truly consecrated to Him. And that will be something for the earth to look forward to. We, however, will be in the presence of the Lord, because He promises to come for His own and to remove us into His presence, where we will have perfect consecration to Him forever. That is something far better than a millennium. It is an eternity in the presence of the Lord. But on earth, there will yet be a test case to demonstrate to all that there can be people in this world perfectly consecrated to God and living in His will for 1,000 years. It can be done. It's just today a very rare thing. In that day, it won't be rare. Now, with this Old Testament background, let us come back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, dropping down to verse 19. The writer to the Hebrews says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Now here's an appeal to our own generation. to our own circumstances, because we have a great high priest who is now in the presence of his Father in heaven. We have one who is constantly interceding for us, who is continually holding us up before the throne of grace in glory and beseeching his Father on our behalf. That is a tremendous thought. And we have a new and living way to God. It is not a geographic pathway. It is a person, the Lord himself, who is in the presence of his Father. We may come through him, because any one of us can pray in Jesus' name. That doesn't mean just tacking a phrase on the end of our prayer. It means instead coming in his merits, because he is worthy of being before his Father. He is the perfect example of consecration to God. We may come through him to the presence of the Father, bringing our requests and prayers before him, because we have one who is an advocate before the Father. What a tremendous thought that is, and one that we must cherish in our own hearts and lives. This is really something that grips our heart, because we all know that he is our great high priest, but we tend not to use his services much. We have other things that dominate our time and interest here. We are busy here and there and yonder. And the idea of a consecration, a devotion to God, a coming before the presence of God in the person of the Lord Jesus, worshiping God through him, that doorway is wide open 24 hours a day. And how rarely we come to seek his face and to commune with him as believer priests. And yet, there are burdens upon our hearts. We have lost loved ones. We have people that we are interested in and would like to see prosper in the spiritual life. And there are many things that are upon our hearts. And so rarely do we come before the presence of the great high priest and ask him to intercede on behalf of these burdens that are upon our hearts. But we should be consecrated to him, thinking about our ministries as priests before God, bringing these petitions before him that he might hear and answer and accomplish his mighty work in the hearts of those who are yet lost, those who yet need consecration, and those who are sometimes willfully going the wrong way. My friends, we must remember who we are and what we should be doing and who our great high priest is. We must not keep him waiting for us, but we must seek his face and bring our petitions and exercise our ministry of intercession in behalf of those who desperately need it. It's interesting in verse 25 that he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And it's true that there are many people who have no conscience about skipping church. They have different things that there are obligations they feel, and, it won't matter this time. Sometimes they simply get tired and don't feel like it, and so on. We must consider, when our great high priest stands before God, he always stands there interceding for us. He is invariably begging his Father to send more grace upon us, to uphold us more fully, to stir us up towards service in a greater manner. And how often we forget what he is doing. We have instead other interests that take us away from a consecration to God. But my friends, the consecration should be there. In verse 36 of that chapter, the writer says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. We have need of patience. Patience in serving God. Patience in praying for good things, for the salvation of the lost, for the accomplishment of God's purpose upon earth. But we get tired. We give up. We forget. It is not a constant consecration. Friends, we must remember what our consecration really is. That always we can pray. Always we can talk to the Lord. And yes, we all have responsibilities here. There's busy work that we're engaged in. And that means we must cultivate the skill of being versatile, of doing more than one thing. While we are working, while we are accomplishing this project or that, can you not remember that you have a lost loved one somewhere that you ought to be praying for and ask God to do something about it? Now, can you not remember that there are missionaries on the foreign field who need special help and strength that particular day? And while you are accomplishing God's work and doing what you need to be doing here, also praying for them time by time? You know, it's a case of training yourself to be conscious of who you are and who the Lord is and what your relationship is. He is the priest that is always praying, always interceding. We are the priests who are busy about many things, kind of like Martha. And we have to bring ourselves back again and again to our consecration. The fact that every day is a day holy to the Lord. That every day we need to pray for those who need God's grace and His saving power. Every day we need to pray for missionaries who are struggling against adversaries and terrible odds on the mission field. They need help. Every day we should be thinking of them, consecrated to pray for them. In verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Yet a little while. We're not here for endless ages, friends. We're here for a little while. And we're soon removed from this realm. And from that time on, there will be no more the competition for our attention. There will be no longer a world of wickedness around us, dragging us downward and away. This is the battleground right here. This is the only time in your existence that you will be able to face terrible foes for God and fight the wars of the Lord. Yet a little while, and He will come. Either He will return in glory, or He will return for you and take you home to be with Him. And that kind of battle will be over. And your chances for further victories that way will be gone. Friends, we must make the most of our opportunities. We must seize those opportunities to pray, to witness, to accomplish God's will in the midst of all the worldly things that are going on. And this is hard, my friends. This is the only time in your existence that it will be hard. If you blow it here, you've blown it forever. In that realm, there will be no competition in your time. There will be no temptation in other directions. You will be supremely consecrated to God. Here, it's hard. Here, it's a battle. Here, we struggle against odds. It is an opportunity that we have that is quickly passing away, and we will not have it again. We pass through this realm only once, and when we're through with it, we are graduated to another realm, and we are gone forever from this kind of a battle. The consecration that we have now is especially important. It is a privilege to live for the Lord against odds, to serve the Lord in the midst of difficulties and distractions. It is a precious privilege that is quickly passed. We must treasure our opportunities. Too often we regret them. We look at the difficulties and we say, oh, if it were only different. Well, one day it will be different, and all the chances will be gone. But here, it's hard. Here, the difficulties loom in front of us. They are opportunities for God's grace to triumph. They are opportunities for us to draw upon the strength and grace of God and to accomplish our ministry of prayer, our ministry of service, our ministry of witness, whatever it may be, to seize the opportunities, to let God accomplish through us what He desires to do, because we are consecrated to Him. We are set apart for Him. We're holy for the Lord, that He may use us now in the midst of the nasty circumstances that we sometimes find ourselves in. My friends, don't look at the difficulties of this life as things that you would just as soon not have, difficulties that you would very much rather were not there. Don't look at them that way. Look at them as opportunities to live for God in the face of hardship. That is a rare thing in the life of the believer. For endless ages, you will never have that. Right now, you can have it. Right now, the opportunities surround you, and you're fighting against odds that are sometimes very difficult. Rejoice. Draw upon His grace. Consecrate yourself to His service. Set yourself apart for Him. And in the face of all the difficulties, serve the Lord Jesus Christ with single-minded devotion. This is your chance to live for Him, to be an influence for good in the midst of evil. It is your chance to pray for those who need help. And you can pray for them and ask God's blessing upon them in the midst of the battle. Soon, your opportunity will be over. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. My friends, we must believe what the Bible teaches. We must trust God to accomplish in us what He desires to accomplish. We walk by faith, not sight. And that faith is the evidence, the substantial foundation on which we build our life and ministry and consecration. In the Scriptures, all those saints of old who lived for God, who fought the war and sailed through bloody seas, accomplishing God's purpose, all those people were evidences of God's sustaining grace in answer to faith. Now it's our turn. Now we must trust God. Now we need to stand for Him in the midst of the wicked world and fight the battle that He gives us the right to fight. In verse 2, by it the elders obtained a good report. They fought a good fight. Now we must fight a good fight. We must consecrate ourselves to the Lord, putting ourselves consciously into His hands, that He might take us and use us and make our lives count for Him in the midst of this wicked world. Only He can do that. But this is our eternal privilege, that here in this wicked world we can live for Him and serve Him, that forever we may be in His presence beyond the reach of the battle. Victors, because He has won the victory in our own hearts. Let's pray. O Lord, forgive us that we forget who we are and what we are doing. Forgive us that we dedicate our lives to Thee and walk off and forget what we have done. Help us, Lord, that we may consecrate our lives and hearts to Thee, to be believer priests here, to constantly seek Thy presence, to pray Thy grace, to witness to Thy marvelous salvation. Help us day by day, that we may remember who we are and what we are doing, that we may pray as we ought for Thy servants in this world, that we may live for Thee lives of good testimony that tell the world we belong to Thee. Give us courage. Give us opportunities. Help us, Lord, that our lives may shine brightly for Thee. Lord Jesus, may the light of Thy presence shine through us. Give us that heart of consecration to Thee, that our lives may count for all eternity. Use us, Lord, for Thy glory. For Jesus' sake. Amen.